You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Holy mackerel, is today's show great. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's Tuesday because we had a holiday yesterday. But as Tuesdays go, we will start the show out today with Rob Regish for the Blueprint Power Hour. Then we're going to change gears. We know all these good things about vitamin D, but what are optimal levels of vitamin D that protect against acquired diabetes? I'm not using the term type 2 diabetes anymore. Let me let Rob Regish in on this because I want to talk about it for a second. And then later in the show, we'll be joined by Mark Dome, bodybuilder extraordinaire, natural bodybuilder who underwent hip replacement surgery. We're going to find out what it's like to come back from hip replacement surgery with Mark Dome later in the show. So I refuse to call it type 2 diabetes because it legitimizes it. In fact, there'll be a blog post released today. Type 1 diabetes is idiopathic failure, and it's not of a secondary nature, of the pancreas, meaning that scientists cannot determine what caused the pancreas to fail per se, and it's not associated with another disease, a secondary result. And so calling type 2 diabetes somehow legitimizes it as a disease and not a condition. So I refuse to call it that, and I want everyone out there to start referring to it as acquired diabetes. The same way a cigarette smoker acquires lung cancer from smoking cigarettes, those who acquire diabetes do so because of bad lifestyle choices, wrong foods, lack of exercise, not the proper nutrients in the diet, deranged sleep patterns, on and on and on. It's completely reversible in 99% of the population who have it, but they rather take drugs. So no longer will we legitimize it as a disease. It will be referred to as acquired diabetes on this show from now on. What do you think of that, Rob Regish?
Amen. That's a great point. People aren't going to like it, but it's the truth. You know, it's nothing that you're born with. You did it to yourself. It's time to undo it. Take some responsibility.
And that's why calling it acquired diabetes puts the responsibility, the burden of responsibility, squarely on the shoulders of the person who's suffering from it. You got it. You developed it on your own. You did it to yourself. You can fix it. Now, don't tell me about the diseases that you have that are a result of it. Those are all avoidable if you decide to change it. Anyway, getting on to other things that are acquired, guess what I've acquired?
I might be able to guess.
A lot of water weight as a result of overtraining. I am completely overtrained, as usual. As the audience knows, I do things to an extreme quite often. And subsequently, I have to take 7 to 10 days off from the gym now.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're not the only one. It happens to the best of us. I just got a message on Facebook from Chris May, who I don't know if we'll be able to speak at length about it this week, but certainly next week we can do, you know, we can do a more extensive answer on it. It's overtraining, and it's burning the candle at both ends. Some of it's training and some of it's lifestyle. You stack, you know, a few late nights on top of the training that we all put ourselves through, and boom, the next thing you know, you're overtrained. And yes, water retention is a big part of that because your internal organs, in particular your kidneys, are no longer functioning at, you know, top speed, so to speak. And boom, you got water retention. And it's one of the signs. And we'll go into more of the signs and about what to do. And today's episode will give you a free practical tool to use to make sure that you're not slipping into overtraining.
Yeah, because by the time water retention occurs, you're deep into it. Adele Musa and I exchanged some emails this weekend, and he pointed out absolutely overtraining can cause an irregular response in aldosterone production along with other kidney and adrenal responses that are somewhat abnormal that will cause water retention. And I mean, it's just amazing to me how the body responds to excessive. And you know what it is too? I'm at fault here. Just like the acquired diabetic, I did this to myself. I go in and I train, and every single movement I do must be maximum weight. I'm trying to prove to myself that I'm 55 in 2 weeks, and it doesn't mean anything. And maybe it doesn't mean anything. Maybe I am stronger than I was when I was in my 20s. I mean, I know I am. But that doesn't give me license to train stupidly as a result, just to prove to myself that 55 is not going to slow me down. No, but the stupidity is slowing me down. That's for sure. So, anyway. All right, we got to get on. We have good questions. The first question comes from Tony Fiorito. Do you think when you stack up a protein like PeptoPro, in your pre-workout shake against hydrolyzed casein, the differences are worth the price difference in an advanced bodybuilder lifter? What do you think?
Well, the short answer is no. But I think a refresher may be necessary to define our terms. First, caseinate versus casein. Okay. Chemically, referring to caseinate is speaking to the fact that the protein has a negative ion charge, balanced by the presence of usually calcium with a positive ion charge, that combination being known as calcium caseinate. If simply casein is referenced, it doesn't necessarily imply the same. Now, with respect to the term hydrolyzed, all that means is the protein string has been broken down to at least some degree into shorter chains, di and tripeptides, links of 2 and 3 amino acids. It's important to point out, though, that what that converts to ultimately, it could vary greatly between products, but let's focus on the product and the question at hand. PeptoPro is a protein hydroxylate derived from casein protein fraction of cow's milk. It's around 85% protein, 60% of which is smaller than 500 daltons, which is a molecular weight. Approximately 7.5% of that are free amino acids, 8.5% is dipeptides, and around 39% being tripeptides. The marketing on this product suggests that 15 grams of PeptoPro has the same anabolic effect as 60 grams of whey, and that it also spikes insulin higher than any other form of protein. Now, I have no doubt about the latter claim, but the former is dubious, I think, at best, you know, in terms of being so much more, you know, 15 grams being equal to 60 grams of whey. Here's the bottom line. In the real world, I don't think using PeptoPro versus hydrolyzed casein is going to make much of a difference. And yes, I've used both. In fact, when I was formulating Synthogen, I used every hydrolyzed product you could imagine, down to 100% pure, 100% hydrolyzed protein, down to the 400 dalton level, molecular weight. Nasty, nasty stuff. I special ordered 3 of them. They were derived from casein, calcium caseinate, and whey. And the literature suggests that that work would work best, but that's not what I found. Ultimately, I elected to use free-form essential amino acids in Synthogen, given the ratios are much easier to tweak. They are almost as fast, meaning they're fast enough. And I not only found those easier to work with, but they were far more effective for recovery. So I don't think it's going to make a difference, Tony, whether you use PeptoPro or hydrolyzed casein. The difference is going to be marginal.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and take an early break now, a minute early. And then when we come back, we've got a question from Scott Connor. You're listening to the Blueprint Power Hour brought to you by the Blueprint Bulletin. You can get your free sample copy of the Blueprint Bulletin by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad today. What do you have to lose? Nothing. What do you have to gain? Everything. Check it out. We'll be right back.
2 from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes The Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Wherever you call your battlefield, after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, AmNutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors, no GMOs, less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition, AmNutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleamnutrition.com. That's muscle, AmNutrition.com.
Recover!
AmNutrition. Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Get strong. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Apparently, iTunes is not updating the RSS feed for some reason about the show. I don't understand anything about iTunes. I got to tell you, I don't think they like the show. It's not a...
I got an email about that. I said, that's not my bailiwick.
No, but it's updated. I just posted the actual RSS feed that iTunes pulls from. Every show is up there through 12001, which was the last one we did with Brooks Kubik. I don't understand why iTunes is a week behind. I think that Superhuman Radio's message is not a Mac-friendly message, not an Apple-friendly message. So maybe because we talk badly about vegans. I don't know. By the way, Adele Moussa posted on the show Facebook post that whey protein is superior to hydrolyzed casein. Anyway, so, you know, as far as building muscle. So anyway, okay. Scott Connor says, not sure if you're taking questions, but I'll post it anyway. What are your thoughts on integrating regular chiropractic treatments into training regimen? It seems that regular heavy squatting, pulling, leg, back work can really cause issues. I've recently seen stalls in both deadlifts and squats. Assuming unlimited access to a chiro, would you recommend integrating it into the weekly program just as you would everything else? Any experience and or results you or Carl have seen with this, I'd like to hear them. Repping the Superhuman Radio Nation one day at a time. I love that. That's cool. Thank you, Scott Connor. Okay, what do you think, Rob?
Yeah, Scott, the answer to your question is yes, absolutely. I am big on regular chiro adjustments for several reasons. So a little bit about that. First, if you understand how muscle contracts, you will gain a deep appreciation for the field of chiropractic. And what I'm saying here is that the message to lift weights starts in the brain, travels down the spinal cord through each vertebrae, then traverses a nerve telling the muscle group or groups to contract. The stronger and more efficient that message, the more efficiently muscle contracts and the stronger you'll be. Now, I first experienced this at age 19 when I incurred a subluxation of L4 and L5. The muscle groups surrounding the joint were spasming badly to the point where it took me 45 minutes to put my socks on in the morning, okay? So with nothing to lose, I visited a chiropractor, and much to my amazement, in one adjustment, I was pain-free. I asked the doctor how he did it, and he proceeded to illustrate on one of those dummy skeletons which vertebrae was rotated clockwise, putting pressure on a nerve that ran to the muscle. He then explained that the muscle contracts to protect the joint, that spasming I spoke of, and all he did was put it back into place, right, eliminating my back pain. Once that education took place, he counseled me that the body takes 3 to 4 weeks to solidify the adjustment that he just made, and he told me, look, don't go back into the gym and start squatting and deadlifting heavy. Well, of course, being 19, I did just that, and was back in his office shortly thereafter, so take a lesson from me, please. But I like and recommend chiros because, one, they work, and two, they work with your body to heal it naturally and not just mask the pain, right? If you go to a doctor for back pain, traditional MD, you're going to walk out with a script for painkillers. And let's face it, that's not fixing things. That's just masking the pain. Chiros also work harder, in my opinion, than regular MDs, as they have something to prove to the mainstream medical establishment. This, despite the fact that that's really no longer the case. Chiros are standard issue on every professional sports team, and visits are now covered by most medical insurers. And so when million-dollar athletes avail themselves to this discipline, you know it's a worthwhile practice. The teams love them too, given the athlete performing at his or her peak and staying healthy is critical to their investment in them. Finally, I'd like to make a case for regular chiro adjustments, even if you're not in any pain, because too many of us put off care until we're hurt, and chiro is the ultimate in preventative medicine. It's just my opinion, but I believe that's the case. A chiro adjustment, even once a month, can be of tremendous benefit, keeping your spine in tip-top shape. And one of my favorite questions from an old chiropractor was this: how long can you live without electricity? The answer isn't months, weeks, days, or even hours. You sever your spinal column in an accident, God forbid, and you die instantly. The best case scenario is that you're laid up for life, and likely a short one at that, Christopher Reeve being the unfortunate example. Final word, consider finding a good chiro and getting adjusted at least once a month. Once you see the benefits, I am certain you will agree. Chiropractic offers tremendous benefits, and you should be taking advantage.
Okay. One note. I'm on iTunes. The shows are out of order. They go from 1190 to 1192, 93, 94, 95. They skip 96 and go to 97, 98, 99, 1200, 1201 is not there. I don't know why iTunes does this. They're pulling the feed from our website. why they, what rhyme or reason they do this, I don't know. I'll tell you what's a better choice to listen to the show, and that's Stitcher. Okay? Stitcher is better than iTunes. So just maybe check that out. Okay.
Interesting.
This one comes from one of the women in the audience, Anna Eliza Rosenbaum. Do you think some people shouldn't have whey protein isolate? I tolerate dairy, I believe. But I'm wondering if the protein shakes make me feel bloated. I know I might seem impatient, but I'm not. Why impatient? I just don't think I'm feeling any better yet in terms of weight. I know it's still early. Right now, I do 40% carbs, 30% fat, 30% protein. Do you think that needs to shift? I eat 850 calories, I'm assuming she's saying a day, which I think is a good number considering what I burn off each day. Sure, I'm not perfect on Saturdays, I'll admit that. But all the other days, I stick to my calories and macros and carbs and fats. I eat a good ones. So what do you think?
Yeah, she might be onto something. And it's quite possible that she and others will benefit by rotating different protein sources in and out of your diet. And personally speaking, I've done this, and I've experimented with different sources, such as micellar caffeine, whey concentrate and isolate, whole milk proteins, and even vegetable sources like pea, which is otherwise known as gamma protein. And I've censored from many, including Randy Mordhorse, who we had on the show once.
Right.
That found themselves allergic to whey and other dairy proteins, although they didn't realize it really at the time. So for them, the switch to a quality non-dairy protein alternative yielded tremendous benefits. Now that isn't the case with everyone, but for them, decreased bloating, inflammation, and improved nutrient uptake and assimilation have been their reward. Hemp, wheat, and pea protein or some combination thereof usually do the trick for those with allergies to dairy. With respect to your macros, Anna, it's likely you'll need to shake things up if you aren't happy seeing objective results after 3 weeks. And I emphasize that word objective because she used the word, you know, weight. I'm not feeling any better yet in terms of weight. Well, that implies the scale. And the scale is, no, will lead you astray. Your emotions, scale in the mirror are typically what people use, and your emotions will often carry over into your self-assessment, and that can be anything but helpful. Many times, too many, we look in the mirror or step on the scale and see something that isn't there, isn't real, or something we don't like. Now, I've experienced this myself. I'm sure you have, too. Only to find, when I actually use the tape measure or something more objective, I actually dropped a few inches off my waist, yet my arms, legs, and neck still measure the same. Now, go back to the training log and find out that you're getting stronger from week to week, and you know you're on the right path. So, Anna, if after all of that you're still not moving in the right direction, and I'm talking about using a tape measure instead of just the scale or
right,
the mirror,
exactly.
The next logical step would be an isocaloric diet, wherein an equal percentage of calories come from protein, carbs, and healthy fats. Zigzagging calories, total calories, dialing down your carbs, and or shifting their timing on training days would follow if the results are still not forthcoming. There's a final thing that I'll offer here, and if you don't want to use a tape measure, there's an old saying in this business, the closed nose. You get an old pair of jeans, put them on, note how they fit, take some pictures, and then throw them in a closet where nobody's going to touch them or wash them, and forget about them. Every 2 to 3 weeks, take them out and put them back on again. You should have a pretty good, you know, read on how your body is responding if you don't want to go through the tape measure hassle.
Yeah, very, very true.
Yeah.
You know what? The scale is only one dimension of your evaluation of progress. And women,
right,
unfortunately, treat it like it's the exclusive dimension, and it's not.
That's water table alone can be thrown, you know, 3 to 5 pounds on a female, which percentage-wise is a lot of weight, and it screws them all up, especially at least once a month.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we've got a question from Kano Pepitas, which, if I'm correct, he lives in Australia. And hopefully he's not staying up to listen to the show live, because it's like 1 a.m. in the morning, that means. So let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, because if he is listening live, let's get to his question as quickly as possible. This is the Blueprint Power Hour, brought to you by the Blueprint Bulletin. Get your free sample issue at superhumanradio.com. We'll be right back.
From Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to the Blueprint Bulletin.com today. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's S-H-R and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My chair is broken, Rob. You know how these chairs have the ability to be adjusted in the up and down fashion because they have a pneumatic tube in them?
Yeah.
Well, I guess the pneumatic tube is blown a gasket, because every time I lift myself back up, by the time the commercial break is over, I'm sitting back down on the floor again. So picture that if you want a good laugh.
Doing chair squats?
No, not today. You know what? That may be what caused this, come to think of it, because, yes, I do them regularly, and maybe landing on the seat too hard doing bodyweight squats in my chair have caused this problem. So there you go. I'm going to have to get a box to sit on, I guess. Okay. Kano Pepita says, what is the best way to restore the body's hormones? How much rest do you think is beneficial?
Wow, complex topic, but generally speaking, once hormone levels begin to decline, tweaks to nutrition, supplementation, and then finally hormone replacement therapy should be used in that order. And that's just my opinion. But the younger you are, the more likely you'll be able to correct a hormonal deficiency with diet and rest. Now, take the average 40-year-old who's sleeping 6 hours a night, for example. We covered this last week. His test levels are in the cellar. And last week I cited a study showing those same individuals who then got 8 hours of sleep went from 200 to 300 nanograms per deciliter when they were getting less sleep to an average of 500 to 600 nanograms per deciliter in terms of total test. Take another individual, say in his 50s. He understands the importance of sleep but still shows signs of low test and growth hormone. He's zinc deficient and has been for decades. On top of that, his GH production has been declining since, you know, the last 30 years, and it's now a fraction of what it once was. Give him some zinc picolinate for a few months and set him up on multiple daily doses of gamma-aminobutyric acid, or GABA, and all of a sudden his quality of life improves dramatically. So does his ability to recover from high-intensity exercise. There are many, though, too many, including, I suspect, myself, that are doing all the right things, yet their test, GH, and cortisol levels are all out of whack. And these folks need to see a doctor, or more specifically, an endocrinologist. And they need hormone replacement therapy to put back what Mother Nature has taken away, because our quality of life will improve dramatically by getting testosterone and growth hormone, etc., back to optimal levels. And if you've done everything else right and you're still not there, then yeah, I think it's worth a visit. So here's the bottom line. If you're sleeping, eating, and supplementing well and still feel run down and beat up, see an endocrinologist about HRT. It'll likely yield a positive, dramatic improvement in your everyday life and give you back what time has taken away. And I think, Carl, you based on your experience, you would agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The next question comes from Robert M. Losey. He says, in an interview of Doug McGuff, MD, author of Body by Science, Dr. Joe Mercola, McGuff states that the stronger an individual becomes and his ability to exercise intensely increases, the longer it takes for recovery. This has been Mike Menster and what's his name talked about this, the guy who invented Nautilus. My question is, as our bodies become stronger and adapt, would our recovery system adapt and become more efficient? Are we all born with a basal or non-changing recovery ability?
Well, the answer to your first question, Robert, is no. Recovery ability does not keep pace with your ability to get larger and stronger. And the reason for that is simple. While the muscles will adapt by becoming larger and stronger, your internal organs, like your liver and kidneys, have a finite ability to clear metabolic waste, rebuild muscle tissue, clear, you know, lactic acid, etc. Time, and only time, will allow for that. It's just a fundamental biological law that cannot be circumvented. Now, I know all about the increased need for recovery. People often poke fun at me and us, right? We were talking about this off air, for sleeping so much, sitting down when I can stand up, and lying down when I can sit. They don't understand how much we take out of our bodies during training because they usually don't even train themselves. Now, I'm not the strongest guy in the world, but it's a safe bet that a lot of the workouts that I perform and the people listening perform would cripple the average person. Anyone who doesn't believe that, you invite them to train with you and try to hang with you, set for set and rep for rep. They're going to have a different perspective on just how much you push yourself and hopefully a better appreciation as to why you need more rest. Now, it is true, some are blessed with the ability to recover faster from high-intensity exercise than others. But as you go up the ladder, in terms of intensity, you need to spend more time putting back versus taking away. Now, since intensity usually starts in the mind, it makes sense that recovery does too. And what I'm saying here is some form of daily meditation or focus exercises are essential, in my opinion. And I personally use Brooks Cubic's methods regularly, and layer in foam rolling, Epsom salts, sled dragging, and Synthogen to maximize recovery. So I hope that gives you some ideas. It's just, no, the internal organs do not have the same capacity as the skeletal muscles to deal with ever-increasing levels of stress.
Yeah. And I'm learning that the hard way right now, by the way.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, you don't want your kidneys to get bigger along with your muscles.
Oh, yeah.
You may want your heart to get a little bigger and stronger, but your kidneys and liver, you don't want them to grow. And they're not growing, and they are responsible for part of the recovery system. As far as scavenging metabolic debris out of the body. So you're right.
Amen.
Okay, Michael Dottie says, I recently started sprinting. 10 to 20 second sprints. I guess 6 to 10 20 second sprints, 6 days a week, off on Sunday. I'll be on week 3 next Power Hour. And also walk everywhere I go, averaging about 10 miles a day. That's really good. With a 20 to 35 pound pack. By Thursday or Friday, my sprints become slower and start feeling local muscle fatigue. Starting MPS Tuesday at 5 caps each before sprints and each walk and hike. I've been intermittent fasting and eating, after my gym workout, or once I get to work, but this past Thursday I decided to have about 50 grams of protein and a tablespoon of coconut oil after the sprint and before the run. Do you think that's adequate to address my energy needs and make the most out of the sprint while still keeping things primed for fat loss? Also, would Blueprint's 3S calorie cycling work? What's 3S? What is that?
3.0.
Okay. Okay, 3.0. Okay. Work well here. More calories on climb lift days, I have a climbing trip in late June and would like to be as lean as possible, but obviously as strong as possible. Well, he didn't put that in there. I'm assuming that that's really critical for a climbing trip. So.
Yeah. Well, Michael, your sprinting, walking, and training schedule in general would bury most people in short order. 6 days a week of that with only one day off just simply isn't enough to allow the body to recover and grow larger and stronger. If it was, you wouldn't be seeing that drop off around Thursday that you cited. So step one is building in more rest days. And to that end, I'd recommend first a full week off and then an every other day schedule to start. And thereafter, I like revisiting your training frequency every 10 days or so. And we'll get in more into that into the tip of the day. But your 50 grams of protein, a tablespoon of coconut oil after the sprint and before the run, that's going to help, but it isn't optimal in my opinion. A better solution would be the tablespoon of coconut oil and 25 grams of protein after your sprint and before your run. And the reason for that is simple. You know, I have 50 grams of protein. That's about 200 calories from protein and a lesser amount from fat. You don't want to train your body to burn protein. It's expensive, it's metabolically inefficient, and throws off a lot of waste in the form of urea and ammonia. So bring the protein back a little bit, keep the coconut oil where it is, and your 5 caps of Synthogen just prior to, halfway through, and immediately post-workout, when you do train, is going to benefit you tremendously, and I have no doubt. Your recovery is going to be much faster. You're going to have more energy to power through your workouts and put back key energy substrates that you otherwise wouldn't be able to, even with whole foods, especially in a caloric deficit. Finally, Blueprint 3.0's caloric zigzags would be an excellent adjunct here to match your energy demands for the day. It just makes sense, given you need more energy on those days when your training intensity is higher, and you'll burn off more fat on off days when you're not, training is hard. In short order, those tweaks should see you as lean as possible for your climbing trip in late June and with the best power-to-weight ratio possible. I hope that helps, brother.
I got a quick question because we got a couple minutes before we take the next break, and then we're going to do the Blueprint tip of the day. So what should I do for the next 10 days? I'm not going to do any heavy lifting. I'm probably not going to do any lifting at all, right? So 7 to 10 days, what do I do? Is it okay if I do high-intensity training, cardio training, or should I just focus on walking?
Walking would be step one, but I'm a big fan of dragging a weighted sled. And I'm not talking about dragging, 200, 300, 400 pounds like some guys. I'm simply talking about dragging to increase blood flow. And why is that? Well, if you think about it, when you drag a weighted sled, there is no lowering or eccentric component of the weights, right? It's all concentric or positive. And we know the eccentric or lowering portion of when you lower weights damages muscle tissue, which is causing tendon and ligament issues now and, retarding your recovery. Concentric training only, like with the sled, is going to not only improve blood flow, it's going to remove waste products, it's going to bring fresh new blood and nutrients from your diet into the muscle and remove waste products, setting you up for a more successful return to the gym. You're also going to have a better workload capacity versus if you just laid on the couch for a week.
What about a weight vest? I've been dying to buy one.
I think weight vests are a great idea. But again, you need to be careful. I see a lot of guys running hills with weight vests.
No. What if I just put 20 pounds in it and walked with it? Nothing ridiculous. They go up to 45 pounds. I was looking at one the other day at a sporting goods store that has 45 pounds of weight in little 1 pound, ingots, if you will, that slide in and out of these, canvas pockets. So what if I just walked around with 20 pounds on me?
That's a great idea. But let me save you some money since I'm a cheapskate. Go to Walmart and buy a book bag.
Yeah, I know. I know where you're going. I know.
That's a great idea. That'll build your general physical preparedness as well without damaging muscle tissue. Walking delivers many of the benefits of jogging at one-tenth of the stress to your system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. So. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have the blueprint tip of the day, the importance of monitoring waking morning heart rate. This comes full circle to address a lot of the discussions today about recovery and rest. Stay tuned. You're listening to Super Human Radio. We'll be right back.
Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition, get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R. Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. New from Rob Riggish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes The Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to the Blueprint sportbulletin.com today.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Don't forget, beginning of the first hour, we'll be talking to Dr. Haney about optimal vitamin D levels, blood levels, that protect you against acquired diabetes. It's not as simple as just taking as much as you can, folks. And then we'll be joined by Mark Domé to talk about his recovery from total hip replacement surgery as a competitive bodybuilder. Okay, Rob Regish, the blueprint tip of the day. Give it to us, brother.
Tip of the day is on the importance of monitoring your waking morning heart rate. And I noted this week that we got a lot of questions pertaining to recovery. So I thought it timely for a discussion on such. And there's a lot of confusion around recovery, and rightfully so, because it's a moving target. Now, you can make some generalizations, such as younger folks recover faster than older, but a lot depends upon how much you sleep, how well you sleep, your nutrition, et cetera, et cetera. So, too, does it depend on the intensity, volume, and frequency of your training. So, with that in mind, I wanted to offer a free diagnostic test that's going to help anyone understand when it's time to back off and or deload to get better results. So, first, taking all of that into consideration, your body is going to begin to give you signs that it needs a break. Now, advanced trainees that have been in this game for a while know what these signs are, and they're pretty reliable indicators of when it's time to deload or take some time off. Now, here's the short list, subjective signs. Strong disinclination to train would be number one. Two, niggling little injuries that just won't heal. Three, unexplained weight gain or weight loss. And four, disturbed sleeping patterns. Although those are good, good isn't good enough in my book. What's needed is an objective diagnostic that leaves no room for error. And such a diagnostic tool exists. It's absolutely free, and it's never going to lie to you. It's easy to put into practice. It is your waking morning heart rate. Ideally, you want to get a baseline reading from which to work with, and that's best done during a week off, like you'll have coming up, Carl, for example. And it's going to be very revealing to many of the folks that avail themselves to it that are listening. Here's how to go about it. Before you even get out of bed in the morning, grab your cell phone or wristwatch or a timer, and perform the following exercise. Pick your pulse up by placing your two fingertips on the inside of your wrist. Count how many beats or pulses occur in 15 seconds, and then multiply that by 4 to arrive at a beats per minute figure. Now, that takes a bit of practice, and I use an average of 3 measurements. It takes a grand total of about a minute to do, and even I have the patience for that. But having said that, let's take a look at what I found when performing this exercise recently. Now, it's important to point out I had really been pushing it, a lot like you, and all the subjective signs of overtraining were already there. So I took a week off and took my average daily resting heart rate each day. Here's what I found. On Monday, 68 beats per minute. Tuesday, same, 68 beats per minute. Wednesday, it drops to 64. Thursday, 62. Friday, 60 beats per minute. Saturday, 58 beats per minute. Sunday, 56 beats per minute. Monday, 56 beats per minute. At that point, when you see, let's say 2 days of, you know, it's stabilizing per se, or per se rather, you know you're ready, I think, to get back into the gym. And I think this is most revealing, because it's clear that my body was in an overtrained state. And ultimately, my resting heart rate dropped to me an incredible 10 beats per minute. Now, I didn't change anything, okay, other than not weight training during that time. Yes, I continued to perform cardio. Yes, I ate the same. Nothing else changed. The point being, I now had a true baseline figure to work off of, 56 beats per minute. Twice a week, over the next 3 weeks, I took my resting heart rate again. And predictably, it started to rise in response to the stresses that I was imposing on my body. By the end of week 4, I was pushing 68 beats per minute again. So the ideal is to deload and take another, and or take another week off when your resting heart rate rises 8 beats per minute above baseline. And that's consistent with what the Russians found in the former Soviet literature. When they experimented with this. For me, this occurs during the tail end of week 3, if I'm pushing my training, you know, into the red zone. Now, bear in mind, I'm 43. I do train as frequently as I can.
A mere child. You're a mere baby. You're 43.
A baby. But a lot of our listeners are a lot younger. So my point being is, I put a lot into what I do, not just in the gym, but outside of the gym. So do a lot of other folks listening, and they're going to span the age gamut from, you know, teenagers all the way up to senior citizens. In other words, your mileage may vary, and that's why this test is so important. So here's the final word. You put this strategy into practice, you can't lose. It's free, and monitoring your waking heart rate is going to tell you a lot about when and where to back off to allow you to continue to grow larger and stronger without digging that hole into your recovery ability, which a lot of people have, you know, either don't dig out of or can't figure out a way to dig out of. I can tell you it has been an absolute boon to my training because every time I go back after that deload or week off, I'm stronger. And it's kept injuries like my elbow tendonitis at bay. Put this into practice today, and there will be no more guessing. Within just a few months of getting this read on your body and making the right adjustments, your performance should increase dramatically. Give that a shot. It pays dues.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, my morning heart rate has been elevated for quite some time, and I've noticed it, but I've ignored it. I haven't paid attention to it because I'm convinced that I am superhuman and I can go into the gym and train harder and harder, that somehow I'm different than everybody else. I won't be susceptible to the problems. Hence, I now have elbow tendonitis in the left arm. And obviously, I'm holding water like Hoover Dam. And clearly, suffering the perils of ignorance. Sheer ignorance to be training as hard as I, you know, I told Rob this off the air. You know, I don't go into the gym and make my opener movement the heavy movement and then slowly and sensibly, change my weight and rep scheme in later movements, to be more, accessory movements. Every single movement I do has to be maximum weight because I'm an idiot.
I mean,
it is. I'm being driven by my ego. I'm not being driven by sensibility. That's not sensible training. That's ego training.
Let's look at it this way. Your employer doesn't want you to go in there next year and be a less productive employee than you were the year before. In a similar fashion, we don't go in the gym to spin our wheels. We go in there to make sure we were better than last week, last month, and last year. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, but here's the problem, Rob. You just said something prolific. Next year, if I was looking at this like next year, instead I want to be that person next week, next month. I want to keep increasing the weight every week, every month. I'm not looking at it sensibly.
Well, I think the desire to succeed is understandable. All I'm saying is, you know, let's go about it with some smarts so that you don't get into a situation where you're hurt. Because when you can't train, you can't gain. And, you know, God forbid, it's, you know, worse than an injury. It almost happened to me. It's happened to other people. They've died. You know, that's serious business. It's tough to
make
gains.
Died from what? Died from what?
Acute rhabdomyolysis.
Okay, so you know what my doctor says to me this morning? He just ordered more blood work. He said that I may have a mild case of it. That the creatine kinase, creatine is not clearing my bloodstream fast enough, and so my kidneys aren't able to get it all out fast enough. That's what he suspects. Yeah. That's what he said this morning.
In layman's terms, when everybody knows this, when you train, you break down muscle tissue. It's shredded up dead tissue. You overdo it, and your body can't clear that shredded up dead tissue. Your kidneys can't clear it fast enough, and you can die. All right? That's some serious business. Now, gratefully, most people don't get to that point. But understand, it can and does happen, and this is a way of monitoring yourself so that you don't get into the red zone. You know? Yeah. We're there to do a job and to make progress. All I'm saying is use this as a tool to make sure that you go about it in an intelligent, measured fashion.
I got to believe that us older guys are more susceptible to this than the younger guys, because we want to prove that age is not impairing our ability to be strong, get stronger, and all these other things that we have. I got a feeling that the older guys have a bigger chip on their shoulder than the younger guys, quite frankly.
Oh yeah, man. Every time I walk in there, I see a 20-year-old. My ideal is to say, you know what? I'm going to take great pride in just training circles around this guy.
There you go.
Maybe that's not the right attitude, but you know what? It keeps me going. It keeps me competitive, and I love it. I can't do it all the time, but more often than not, I can. And you know, you should take pride in that. I work hard for it. So do a lot of other people.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. A lot of good information here, Rob Regish. Thanks again, as always, for putting together the Blueprint Power Hour. You can get a copy of the Blueprint Bulletin for free by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad. See what all the rave is about. In fact, Rob made a suggestion in this last Blueprint Bulletin, and a certain company sold out of a supplement because it works so well. So find out what all the other people are not telling you. Your training partner is not going to tell you about the Blueprint Bulletin because they don't want you to get as strong as they are.
And it was pennies on the dollar for what it used.
Yeah. So check it out. Go to superhumanradio.com. Click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad today. Rob, thanks a lot, brother.
Thanks for having me.
And here's to taking off the next week for me. All I'm going to do is walk. I'm not even going to do the weighted vest. See, this is what I do. No, I got to make it harder. I don't want to just walk. I got to make it harder.
We'll talk about it Tuesday. Next Tuesday.
All right. We'll see you later, Rob. All right. So here we go. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Dr. Haney's going to join us, and we're going to talk about the right level for vitamin D in the bloodstream to reverse and even prevent acquired diabetes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up.
Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Wherever you call your battlefield, after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula and Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors. No GMOs. Less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition and Nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleandnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
And Nutrition.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called piezole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Piezole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
The mob comes equipped. The mob comes equipped.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. Everybody knows about the magic of vitamin D, but we also know that the good news and bad news about vitamin D is, the good news is that it works, and the bad news is that it works. And like anything else that works, understanding optimal target blood levels is critical. And that's where my guest, Dr. Robert Haney, comes into the picture. How are you doing, Dr. Haney?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And thank you for joining us today. So first of all, let's get started with this. Can you describe the design of your study, first of all, and what endpoints you were trying to work to?
Well, to start with, we had access to a large database that had been accumulated by a private foundation in Calgary. And this was a group that had specifically promoted use of vitamin D, and living as far north as Calgary, that's probably a pretty good idea, actually, because there is not a lot of solar synthesis of vitamin D for most of the year up there.
Right.
So we had access to a large database, over 4,000 individuals, and they had made measurements of all kinds of things related to health status, such as insulin resistance and insulin responsiveness, blood sugar levels, blood pressure, a whole host of health status indicators. And at the same time, they had also measured vitamin D status in all of their individuals. And they had a higher vitamin D status than might be found in many other population groups, mm-hmm. because the foundation has specifically encouraged its members to use vitamin D.
Gotcha.
So we had a broad range of vitamin D status values available to us, which is, I think, very important under these circumstances. We then identified five key variables that we thought needed to be looked at. One was plasma insulin. that's an indication of whether your body is having to work too hard to handle its load of sugar, glucose specifically.
Sure.
When that happens, the blood insulin has to rise, if that keeps going indefinitely, you can kind of burn out the pancreas.
Sure,
as it
sure.
Were. So that was one measure. The second measure we used was something that was called homeostasis acquisition. HOMA is the abbreviation for that. HOMA computed in a specific way that measures insulin resistance. So it's a combination of both blood glucose and blood insulin levels. A third measure was something that is abbreviated as QuickE, and that's simply another way of combining insulin and glucose values, in this case to show not resistance but responsiveness. How readily do your body tissues respond to insulin? So we had three measures related to glucose homeostasis and insulin, basically.
Is the QuickE actually derived from clearance of glucose, either postprandial or as a result of a glucose challenge test?
No, it would be good. I mean, those are good ways to assess the issue, but they're difficult to do if you're just going to get a single blood sample.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because you just don't have any of the dynamics that you would want to see how rapidly things change as a result of a specific challenge, et cetera. I mean, those are great measures, but they're not what was available in this
right.
database.
Gotcha. Okay. Did you also, through a diary or something or questionnaire, ascertain how many IUs and what forms of vitamin D were being supplemented with?
Yes, we have all of that information, but we confined this particular study to the values that were obtained on entry into this foundation. You joined it; it was free. It was available to workers and their families in the energy industries up there.
Right.
So we just have entry data. The problem with trying to use the data that might have come from, well, how much have you been taking, is we wouldn't have had good information on how long they'd been taking it. And it takes 3, 4, 5 months for your body to achieve a new steady state in vitamin D level after you change your dose.
Really?
Yes, it doesn't happen.
Is that a result of the landscape of hepatic landscape changing and causing a reduced clearance?
Well, the first thing that has to happen with vitamin D when it comes into your body, whether you take it by mouth or whether you synthesize it in the skin, it's all the same. The first thing that happens is it gets chemically modified at one of the positions on the ring structure. Mm-hmm. It's called 25-hydroxy vitamin D.
Right.
And that is a very important compound. It is the officially accepted measure of vitamin D status. When I give somebody a large dose of vitamin D, big enough so that I can see the changes, they may maximize their level of 25-hydroxy vitamin D within 4 or 5 days, or some others may stretch out to as long as 28 days. So they're very slow at doing this reaction or very fast at it. And lots of differences between people. We don't begin to understand all the reasons for those differences, but that's all background. That's the reason we didn't use current dosing, because we didn't know how long it would have taken or how long they'd been taking it,
Gotcha. And really, in this particular study, the important thing was the linkage between actual in situ blood levels of 25-hydroxy D and the landscape of insulin resistance.
That's right, or insulin responsiveness. And then we did the same thing for blood pressure, both systolic and diastolic blood pressure. Again, these were obtained using a standard protocol on entry into the foundation at the same time the blood was drawn. And so we then looked to see if we could find an association there.
Now did you look at blood pressure solely on its own or as an adjunct to insulin sensitivity because of the increased production of angiotensin converting enzyme in those who appear to be insulin resistant?
We looked at it entirely in isolation.
Okay.
It was a particular health outcome. Blood pressure was a health outcome.
Gotcha.
And the hypothesis was that vitamin D would influence the level of blood pressure. Hmm. There have been several studies in both insulin and in blood pressure showing that there is an association between vitamin D status and a particular outcome. That is, increased insulin resistance as blood as vitamin D status goes down, and a drop in blood pressure as vitamin D status goes up, et cetera. But there wasn't universal agreement on this point. You know, a lot of studies have been published that showed no relationship at all that at least could be found with the data available.
Okay.
So we thought we should take a look at this again. Now, to describe the approach that we took, let's just take a single outcome variable, say plasma insulin, and look at that as a function of vitamin D status. Well, we would expect plasma insulin to fall as vitamin D status improves, because insulin responsiveness would be improving, so the body wouldn't need to produce as much.
Right.
So that was the underlying hypothesis. And if you can do this without a video counterpart for this audio program, you can imagine a graph that is filled with a snowstorm of points. On the vertical axis, we have insulin level or insulin responsiveness, and on the horizontal axis, we have vitamin D status as measured by serum 25-hydroxyvitamin D. And if the hypothesis is correct, we would expect that the people with the higher vitamin D levels would have somewhat lower insulin resistance,
right,
and lower plasma insulin. But, and this is where the problem gets sticky, there are a lot of other things that influence that plasma insulin. Mm-hmm. For example, your waist circumference, your body weight, your age, sex, race, et cetera, all those things have a huge effect on plasma insulin, altogether aside from the issues of what you ate, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, but these blood samples were all supposed to be fasting. So for the most part, what they ate was not a variable that we could reckon with here.
Right, right.
Now, so we used statistical models, a method called stepwise multiple linear regression, and we factored out the effect of such things as weight and body size and waist circumference and age and sex, those major variables. And when we did that, we eliminated about 25% of the variability in the plasma insulin values. That means that there still was a lot of variation from person to person.
Right, right.
And in effect, we adjusted the plasma insulin value for differences in body size and differences in weight distribution, hip, waist, et cetera.
So is there a difference? In other words, if somebody is a larger person, and I know this was a study that was published not too long ago, they seem to have a lower vitamin D status. Is that a result intrinsically of having a higher body weight?
Yes and no. It's quite true that the heavier you are, the lower your vitamin D level will be. The principal reason for that is that you're putting it in by mouth or taking it in at the skin at the same rate as a thin person would, but you're diluting it in a larger volume.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
As a result, you have a lower concentration. Now, people have dreamed up all kinds of other fancy explanations, but the simple one is the right one, and it's just, I mean, this has been shown clearly now.
Right.
So it's just that big people need more.
Right.
Well, not too surprising. If you were treating heart disease with a drug, you would do it on a weight-related
right.
basis.
Milligram per kilo, yeah, per body yeah, weight. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. But that is obviously a factor here, and so we had to deal with that as well. Now, we then took these adjusted values for plasma insulin, and we plotted them against the blood 25-hydroxy D level,
right?
The measure of vitamin D status. Now, once again, we would expect to see a downward tilt. The better the vitamin D status, the lower the insulin resistance, or the lower the plasma
insulin. And I guess this quite often, this type of research is called the area under the curve, because you say that you would expect to, but you didn't, right? You saw a sweet, you found a sweet spot almost, didn't you?
Yeah, well, that's the second step in what I want to talk about. You'll note that we still had 75% of the variants to explain, so we still had a literal snowstorm of points. And if you looked at that graph and tilted your head just right, you know, and squinted one eye, you could see that there probably was a downward trend. But it wasn't the kind of thing that leaped out at you and said, oh, yes, of course, how clear, because it's not. These are small effects, and it takes a sensitive measure to do it. Now, we went into this study with the realization that vitamin D is a nutrient, and it acts like all nutrients, or at least that was our presumption, and that is that the response is shaped like an S. If the response is beneficial, then it's a forward-looking S. If the response is harmful, then it's a backward-looking S. Now, what that means is that there will be parts of that intake range that will have no response at all, because it's the flat portion of the S at the bottom or the flat portion of the S at the top.
Right.
And you wouldn't expect any response there. The point is, we didn't know where the up swing of the curve was.
Okay.
So what we did is we took all of our data, the 4,000 people with adjusted insulin values, and we split them up into 40% blocks, you know, assembling them in accord with the rising value of 25-hydroxy-D. So the first block, the first 40% block, were the 40% of the group with the lowest vitamin D values. And then we looked to see if we could find a statistically significant slope, that is, whether there was any downward trend in there as vitamin D status improved. And then we did that again, stepping it up from the fifth percentile to the 45th. We did this in a series of 40% blocks. See, 40% is about 1,600 people out of 4,000. Mm-hmm. So we had a fair number.
Right.
We just stepped it up by five percentile steps until you got up to the top, which was 60 to 100%. And in each one of those blocks, we looked to see if we could find a statistically significant relationship between insulin and the changing 25-hydroxy-D levels.
I need you to hold this thought now, Dr. Haney, because we've gone quite long here, and I have to take a break. And when we come back from the break, I want you to explain to the audience what you learned and where this sweet spot actually exists in vitamin D's ability to have an effect on insulin sensitivity. And we'll also talk about blood pressure. Stay tuned. You're listening to Super Human Radio. We'll be right back with more.
Way Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Way Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Way Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Way Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Super Human Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, mechanogrowth growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Wherever you call your battlefield, after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete, all-natural, and organic recovery formula, AmNutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors. No GMOs. Less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition. AmNutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleamnutrition.com. That's muscle, AmNutrition.com.
Recover!
AmNutrition.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Robert Haney. We're talking about vitamin D supplementation, or blood levels of vitamin D that seem to affect a favorable insulin response. So when you broke these groups into these 40% quartiles, what did you find? How did you find a sweet spot where there was optimal insulin sensitivity, and where did it then begin to drop off as the dosages, as the blood levels went up?
The change in the response curve occurred somewhere between 40 and 90 nanograms per milliliter. Now, that's the blood concentration of 25-hydroxy-D, and the amount of vitamin D that you would have in order to get that is not, of course, specifically indicated in this study.
Right.
But other studies that we have carried out would indicate that you would probably need somewhere in the range of 5,000 to 6,000 international units per day, from all sources combined, that is from sun, from food, from pills, whatever, you would need that much in order to achieve those kinds of levels. Now, it turns out that sweet spot applied to the insulin-related variables. It appeared also to apply to the blood pressure-related variables. But we know that it could well be a different value when we look at other endpoints such as cancer, and we didn't have the chance of doing that in this study, of course, because it was cross-sectional, not prospective. But so we can't rule out the fact that more might be a little bit better for some other endpoints. But for these endpoints, you would need to have a blood level somewhere between 40 and 90, and probably closer to the top end of that. Now, to put that in perspective, the Institute of Medicine, in its recommendations that were issued just 2 years ago, said that a blood level of 50 was plenty, whereas that's really toward the bottom end of our sweet spot range in this study.
Right, right.
Now, on the other hand, for whatever reasons, the Institute of Medicine also said, well, we're only going to look at bony effects. So they didn't look at insulin resistance or blood pressure.
Yeah, right.
They just simply said, well, there isn't enough evidence for that. Well, you know, maybe they change their mind.
Well, they will. It'll take a while. They, you know, but that's why this, that's why it's important to get this information out, because people out there can make their own decisions on supplementation or exposure to sun and what optimal levels are. And as you point out, some people respond quickly to vitamin D, some don't. There seems to be a lot of polymorphisms out there. Some people don't convert high doses. One person can take 6,000 IUs and reach 80 nanograms quickly. Another person could take that same 6,000 and barely get their blood levels to 30 nanograms. So it's a very unique and individual situation, supplementing and or sun exposure, and that's why it's more important to pay attention to blood levels as the endpoint than how much you're taking. It's very, very critical. Now, let me ask you a question, Dr. Haney. When you reached above the 80 nanograms, it's a deciliter, right? Or is it a liter? I forget which one it is.
This was per deciliter.
Okay, so when you got above that, was the change in insulin sensitivity landscape similar to that as below 40?
Well, there was no change at all at that point. That was, I mean, there was no effect. Once you max out,
then
that's it.
So there's a point of diminishing, but in other words, more doesn't necessarily change the landscape of insulin sensitivity negatively. It just doesn't have any more effect on it.
That's exactly right. It's kind of like taking iron if you have blood loss anemia. It'll help you get your hemoglobin back up. But once you're up to a normal value, you can double, triple, quadruple your iron dose. Doesn't make any difference.
Gotcha.
You don't get any more hemoglobin.
I got it now. Okay. So that's why exactly there may be some value in higher levels if you also want to affect other things. Is there any understanding how vitamin D affects insulin sensitivity? Like, we know how thyroid hormone does. What does vitamin D do? Its presence in the bloodstream do that allows insulin to be more efficient?
Yeah, vitamin D is absolutely essential for all the cells in the body to express the instructions in their genome. Whenever they need to respond to anything, they don't keep all the biochemical equipment ready-made in the cell. They just keep the plans for it in their genetic blueprints. And so their first response to any kind of a stimulus is to go into the nucleus, kind of like going into the library, finding the plans, and then they make it. Now, vitamin D is the key that opens up the genome, so it allows all body tissues to respond to whatever the appropriate stimulus is for that tissue. And in the absence of vitamin D, or in the absence of not having enough vitamin D, you don't do it as well. So no tissue works as well in the absence of vitamin D.
Wow. You know what? No one has ever explained it that way before. And that's what makes vitamin A and vitamin D amazing cohorts, because vitamin A influences differentiation of stem cells. So while one has the blueprints, the other one is helping facilitate those changes. It's amazing. Amazing.
Well, it is amazing. Yes, absolutely.
So what's next for your group after this this recent revelation in vitamin D, insulin status, and blood pressure?
Well, we've been mapping for the last 20 years now the quantitative aspects of this story. How much do you need? How much of an effect does it produce? How long does it last? All these quantitative questions, which are extremely important in the practical sector, but most people doing this clinical research don't pay attention to those. They say, well, vitamin D is necessary for calcium absorption. Okay, we've shown that. Now the question is, how much vitamin D produces, how much calcium absorption, how long does that last? So we've been focusing on those kinds of questions, and I'm planning to continue to do that.
And are you making recommendations to the individuals who make these types of nutraceutical policies out there?
Well, we certainly communicate, but sometimes it's as if they have deaf ears.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's why it's important for people to hear this discussion. You know, the power is at the base of the pyramid, and grassroots works quite often better, so that people can be apprised of this information. So when they go to their doctor and their doctor says, oh, your vitamin D status is fine, you're at 37, they know that being slightly higher reasonably higher, maybe 50, maybe 70, up to that 80 point nanograms a deciliter is better. And they can then make the decision whether to supplement more and have that discussion with their physician. And this is what's important. When people come in with information, they're empowered to affect their own health outcomes. It's an exciting time with information that dissemination. Dr. Haney, I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show today. It's a very important discussion, and I applaud your work.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Take care. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Mark Domey on, who has undergone complete hip replacement surgery and is a competitive bodybuilder. We're going to find out how he's faring. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Has an anti-estrogen been so powerful? The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now. Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a 1-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Okay. We're all athletes. We're all getting older. And sometimes hard decisions have to be made if you're a serious athlete. My next guest is Mark Dame. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great, Carl. Thanks for having me on again.
Sure. And for those who aren't familiar with you, let's do a little backstory. First of all, you are a competitive natural bodybuilder. How old are you now?
I'm 47 years old.
Okay. I can't wait till you turn 50. I'm sorry to say that, but I can't wait. Because that's going to be a milestone for you, because you're going to be stronger and better than ever. Okay, so you're a competitive bodybuilder, a dedicated father. How many children do you have?
I've got three.
And you're actively involved with your children, taking them to events, helping them do homework. On top of that, you work a full-time job, and you're a personal trainer, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
And your wife, please, her first name?
Her name's Gina.
And she runs, Dina runs a yoga studio, correct?
That's correct, yoga and Pilates.
So you're a family believer in physical culture. I'm sure the children are being exposed to this too. And so what happened? What was the circumstances that made you go, I think I need to go see an orthopedic surgeon, or I need to see a doctor. Something's wrong here.
Well, it started actually last year about this time. I just competed in the NPC Texas Shredder, which I wound up winning the middleweights, masters, and overall, and had made the decision to compete at Team Universe in New Jersey, which is a national level contest. And it was probably, it was about this time frame last year, I started noticing some pain in my groin. And I thought possibly it was a groin strain or possible, a slight tear in the adductor or something, but it really wasn't anything I paid a whole lot of attention to, because, I've been training for years, and, I'm not a young guy, and, it's rare that a day goes by that I don't get up and, something hurts, so.
Well, no, I want to talk about this, because a lot of people will say to me, my hips are bothering me, and they'll point to where the gluteus minimus muscle is on the side of the body.
Right.
On the outside of the body, and I'll say, that's not your hips. That's your gluteus minimus or your glute muscles that are hurting. Your hip, if your hips are bothering you, you feel the pain in your groin, and they look at me,
right?
Because they don't realize that the hip joint is right there in the pelvis, at the bottom of the pelvis, where the pelvis is the most narrow, and that is at your groin. So what would you say to people out there who maybe are starting to notice some soreness in the groin? Was it something that if you got out of the car the wrong way, it felt like it popped? Was there any signs or symptoms at all?
No, it started out just kind of a soreness, and like you said, like getting in and out of the car where you're moving, you're lifting your leg laterally, or getting in and out of bed with that leg. I would notice it then, but it really wasn't too bad. But we were actually let's fast forward a little bit. I competed at Team Universe through this, and I wound up doing really well. I won the middleweight class, earned a spot on the Team USA that was going to travel in November to Ecuador to the World Championships. So, in the back of my mind, I still had this issue, but I also had another goal a few months ahead, so I thought, well, I'll just work through it and keep going. And as it happened in August, we were getting ready to go to the Europa Super Show in Dallas. I wasn't competing, but I was just going to go down for the expo and, just enjoy the weekend as not competing. And I was actually getting the car ready, and I was sitting in the driver's seat, and I leaned over to wipe the opposite side of the dash, and I felt a pop in that hip. And from that moment on, I knew something major was wrong. I got out of the car, was having trouble walking, walked in, told my wife, I felt a pop, and, I don't really know what's going on, but still didn't really, I thought, it's just something, and we were leaving, so.
Because all of us older guys who train, we learn to train through pain and injury, because, it's like an old car. The shock absorbers wear out. You can't give up. You can't go, I'm done. You learn to train around it. So you were like, okay, this is something I'm going to have to learn to train around.
Right. And I did. I continued. We went to Dallas. I wasn't much fun. I couldn't walk very well. And I knew something really wasn't right. So when we got home, this was in late August, we finally made an appointment with an orthopedist who,
did you know it was your hip? Did you, what did you do? Do a Google search and go, oh, wait a minute, this isn't a groin muscle, this is my hip.
I, Yeah, I kind of looked around, and that's when I realized that, you know, kind of like you had mentioned earlier, that hip issues usually originate as groin pain, you know, and, you know, I found that out, and I read a little bit and studied a little bit, you know, of what I could find, and, you know, as we all do, we kind of try to self-diagnose, which is probably a mistake, but, you know, I wound up going to an orthopedic surgeon. He x-rayed it, did an MRI, with contrast, and it was at that point, this was like in late August, that, you know, he told me that pretty much the lining of my joint was completely gone. It was bone on bone, and the only really permanent solution would probably be a hip replacement, you know, and he left it kind of in my hands as to, you know, whatever you can tolerate, you're not going to do any more damage to it. You know, the damage is pretty much done. It's arthritic, you know, and it obviously wasn't something that just occurred. It wasn't an acute injury. It built up over time.
It sounds like it's your left hip. Was it your left hip?
It's my right hip.
Okay. Okay. So with that being said, you had to, be beside yourself. I'm a competitive bodybuilder. I've made a career at this. I have to go get a hip replacement. Not me, not Mark Dome. I'm superhuman. This happens to other people, not somebody who treats their body like I do.
Exactly. And it was really hard on me mentally. For one, you know, I'd qualified to do something that, I mean, a very small percentage. I mean, we're talking a handful of guys each year get to go do and represent the United States at international competition as a bodybuilder. And I was just kind of seeing that going up in smoke, you know, and I was really disappointed, and I talked to my wife about it, and I actually talked to the surgeon about it, and he said that we would do what we had to do to get me through November, get me through the contest, which involved, I got a couple of anti-inflammatory injections in my hip. I had it drained a couple times just to keep me kind of hobbling along and training as best I could to get through November. And then after, you know, I got back from Ecuador and things settled down, it still took me a couple of months to really
come to grips with it.
Come to grips with it and say, look, this, you know, this is what I need to do, you know, and the sooner I get it done, the quicker I can get back on the road, you know, get back into training and resume, you know, a normalcy of activity that I'm used to.
Now, when did you actually have the surgery? How long ago?
I actually had it February 27th, which is just about almost 13 weeks
okay.
ago.
Okay. Was there any comments from the, now, did they come in from the back or the front?
It was the anterior approach. It's across the, kind of in the side.
So that's actually a better alternative, especially for a guy who carries the kind of muscle mass you did.
Right.
You do. Did your doctor do that because of the mass of glute muscle that you have?
That was part of it. And, you know, the older approach is the posterior approach where they go through the glute. And in that approach, they actually have to split the glute muscle. So they're cutting through all the glute muscle to get to the hip, the joint capsule itself through the rear. They sew that back up. And, you know, you read different or talk to different doctors, but in his experience, he's seen more dislocations and more problems arise with the posterior approach.
Well, especially when you think about it, the glutes are responsible for stabilizing the hips.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You cut, it's almost like you cut the important muscle that's going to stabilize this new joint that you just put in.
Exactly. And with the anterior approach, they do have to compromise just the glute minimus, but it's repairable, and, you know, as of right now, I mean, I'm not having any issues with it. You know, they go in through the side, they go in between all the musculature into your hip. The only thing they have to actually cut is the glute minimus. They cut it, a clean cut, they're able to reattach it surgically. It heals up just like, you know, any other repair, and it'll be as strong as ever. And I mean, I'm, you know, 12, he said it 6 weeks out, it's going to be about where it needs to be, and just, you know, use a little bit of care. I mean, I'm, you know, 13 weeks out, and I mean, to be honest with you, I wish I would have done this a long time ago. I went through months and months and months of pain that I probably didn't have to.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about your progress. We're talking with Mark Dame. He is a competitive bodybuilder. He's 47. You said 47, right, Mark?
Yes, sir. Yes,
47 years old. Recently went for complete hip replacement surgery on the right side, and we're going to talk about his comeback when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio, and we are talking to a superhuman, so you're going to want to stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Should Altrient supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrient C and Altrient ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrient C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrient ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrient cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds. Per hand and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state of the art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Pump it, pump it. But don't pump it if your hip hurts you, okay? That's when you have to give it a break. Okay. Let's talk about your journey back. We're talking with Mark Dame. We're talking about his recent hip surgery. Obviously, you had to be worried, right? You're like, oh, man, I'm going to have hip surgery. I wonder if I'll be able to come back. Will I be able to train as hard as I've trained before?
Yeah. You know, the mental picture I had before it was, you know, hip replacements of 20 to, you know, 25 years ago. And, you know, and even talking to my surgeon back then, you know, the goal then and the prosthesis that they implant and everything, the techniques, it was basically just to get you functional. Well, the surgeon is actually a friend of mine that goes way back. We actually raced for the same cycling team over 20 years ago. But, you know, he knows me and he knows what I do and he knows I want to be active. So he knew I wasn't going to be, satisfied with just being functional. I wanted to return, you know, to the level of activity, to be able to train and ultimately get back on stage at, as good or better than I've ever been. So with that in mind, you know, that's how he approached it. That's how I've got a great physical therapist in Gwen Morgan, who has worked with me, and he knows what the end goal is. The end goal isn't just to, you know, get me, you know, walking across the room painless. My goal is to get back on stage and compete again. So, you know, it's been different, you know, and a lot of the data on recovery, rehab, and everything, we've kind of had to rewrite it because most of that's based on people who are a lot older than I am.
Right.
And possibly aren't in as good a physical condition.
Right.
They don't have the musculature that I have. So it's kind of been a learning experience for them too, because they really haven't had somebody that had the ability to push themselves and, you know, want to recover and be a really active participant in the rehabilitation process.
So let's talk about that. Where are you? You were up and walking the next day, right?
Yes. Less than 24 hours. You know, the process actually started less than 24 hours after surgery. They had me walking down the hall at the hospital with a walker, doing some very small mobility type things while I'm laying in the hospital bed. So, I mean, yeah, it starts immediately. And, you know, that was one thing that I made sure, regardless of how painful it was or how uncomfortable it was, you know, I made sure I did every rep of everything they've wanted me to do from the day after surgery up until this morning. I'd do my rehab. You know, obviously I'm training again, not with quite the weight and, you know, modified a bit, but I still do all those basic rehab exercises because there's a lot of musculature in there that is weak from me favoring the leg for almost a year. And hip flexor strength is down a little bit because my leg just wasn't functioning properly, you know, for a long period of time. And, you know,
because it was protecting against pain. It protects against
exactly.
pain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you think that your competitive cycling had anything to do? I've always wondered about cycling and hips because you're in a kind of a prone position mm-hmm. where you never fully extend the leg. And if that repetitive, small, short stroking motion actually can put the hips at compromise.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, I spent 20 years as a fairly high level cyclist and I did suffer some hip issues then at certain times, IT band things, I did have some problems with this hip before. And, you know, it's like with shoulders or everything, you know, it's like with my shoulder, which I've had surgery on, you know, and I've had injuries to it in past accidents. And I honestly think a lot of joint issues that you may suffer later on in life probably actually began maybe 15, 20 years ago with a football injury, with a,
right.
an accident, a car accident, a cycling accident that, you know, it does, that's when the downhill slide starts. And you may not notice it for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years as is my hip, but it was obvious from the condition, you know, of the hip joint itself that this wasn't something that happened overnight. The deterioration had taken place over a long period of time. It just kind of like it all finally came to a head at once, but it wasn't something that just happened. You know, it was a gradual build up.
How is your other hip?
It's great. I haven't had no problems with it at all.
Yeah. See, isn't that and so maybe you're right. This is something that happened a long time ago. You know, when you were cycling, maybe it started and then it starts out where the, maybe an abrasion and that accelerated wear of the meniscus in there. And next thing you know,
that's kind of, you know, and I talked to another, PT a while back and he kind of likened it to like your car. If you're in a car accident, and it slightly bends the frame of your car, you take it to the body shop, they straighten the frame as best they can, but there may still be that slight deviation that'll cause uneven tire wear.
There you go.
On down the road. And, you know, to me, that was a perfect analogy. You know, I may have injured a hip or a shoulder or whatever it may be, a knee, and I get treatment for it, and I think everything's okay, but there's just that slight deviation in there that's causing that uneven wear pattern that eventually leads to arthritis and, you know, eventually, you know, is going to chew up the cartilage or, you know, whatever the result might be.
What would you say to older listeners out there who are being faced with hip replacement surgery and putting it off because they think it's going to limit their ability to do all the things that they want to do that they've fallen, that they love to do, like squatting and stuff like that?
I would, if you truly suspect you have an issue like mine that may result in hip replacement, or you've already been told by a doctor that that's the thing, my recommendation is to do it. I can guarantee you 2 weeks after I had the hip replacement surgery, I was walking in less pain, unassisted, than I had been the previous 3 to 4 months before the surgery. And this is 2 weeks after surgery.
Okay, so when will you be squatting again, do you think? Predict.
I'm doing some body weight squats. I'm doing just some light squats with the bar weight. Right now I'm just mainly working range of motion and mobility and gradually getting the strength to come back. But, I mean, I anticipate in the next few weeks starting to bump the weight up a little bit. You know, and I'm leg pressing now with some fairly significant weight. I'm doing a lot of machine squats, power squats. Right
so
now,
are you still training upper body with the same degree of?
Yeah. That, you know, really the only maybe for 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, when my mobility was really compromised and I wasn't really comfortable being in the gym. Other than that period, I mean, upper body never wavered. I mean, I trained it as hard as ever.
How long did you take off post-surgery? How long were you completely out of the gym for, would you say? 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Did you notice any changes in your body? And obviously not the leg that was surgically adapted, because that's trauma there. But what about the upper body? Did you notice any changes to your upper body at all?
No, not a whole lot, Carl. I did, over the weeks after surgery, I lost a little bit of weight just because I think I wasn't getting the, you know, stimulation. I tried to keep my nutrition, you know, on point. And I'm talking just a few pounds, my weight dropped. But other than that, I mean, I took pictures and, you know, nothing really seemed to change as far as my upper body.
That's great. Yeah, and I got a feeling that when's the last time you really took a long period of time off from the gym?
Oh, 6-7 years.
I got a feeling that you're going to come back even stronger now, because you probably needed this time off anyway.
I think so, Carl. I don't want to say that, you know, I accelerated this, but I would be a fool not to think that as hard as I pushed and just continually, you know, I would take short breaks here and there, but nothing extended. And I really honestly believe that being forced to take the time off I did will make me a better athlete or bodybuilder in the future.
Oh, I agree. And you ought to do a commercial once your squat is back up to snuff for the arthropod that did the surgery for you.
Yeah, and it was kind of awesome. I mean, not wishing this on anybody else, but the day before I had surgery, I don't know if you're familiar with Dave Tate that owns Elite FPS.
Sure, yeah.
He had hip replacement surgery the day before I did. So we've communicated back and forth a little bit because we've kind of gone through the same process together. And he's already back box squatting some pretty significant weight, which, you know, that's Dave Tate. You know, he's a monster, you know. You know, he works with John Meadows, and I've communicated with John Meadows a little bit. And we've kind of followed each other's progress. So it kind of helped in a way, because I kind of had a kindred spirit in this, you know, because Dave's been a top-level power lifter and athlete for years and years. And, you know, if it happened, you know, it happened to him, it happened to me. We had surgery days apart. So it kind of gave me hope, you know, because I knew how strong he was coming back from it, and I knew I could do it too.
Yeah, no, and you'll come back really strong. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like you said, this is going to make that leg so much stronger, because you'll be able to train it with full force now.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, congratulations on the outcome. We wish you speedy recovery. You are an example of a superhuman, because, you know, you get a part change, you just keep on going. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've told people. People, you know, think, you know, it's going to change what I do, and it's really not. You know, I mean, I'll figure a way to work around it. You know, it's like my PT and the doctor said, you know, it may change the way you're trained, but it's not going to stop your training.
Right.
You know, you're going to be able to do what you need to do to to stay competitive. And, you know, really it's all up to you. You know, you could use it as an excuse and just give up, or you can just find a way to deal with it. You know, things happen and we're going to all work around it, you know, and figure out a way to work with it.
I agree. Good luck, Mark, huh?
Thanks, Carl. I appreciate it.
And thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, Mark, did you hang up?
Yes.
Plug your sponsors. I'm so sorry. Plug your sponsors.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Carl. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'd like to thank, I've had a couple of sponsors that, you know, they've stuck with me through this. They know I'm not going to probably be on stage for another year or so, but they've, you know, continued to support me and help me out. And the first is Quest Nutrition, who makes the awesome Quest protein bar that we all love. Another one is AX Athletic Extreme, a supplement maker who makes some of the best products on the market today. And also Justin Troxell of Nutrient Sciences out of Florida, who's been helping me out for years. I'd just like to really thank all of them because, like I said, they know I'm down now, but I'm not out, and I'll be back. And they've stood behind me all the way.
That's awesome. And Quest is fantastic. And Quest has a new low-carb pasta now that's out of this world,
right,
man. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I got my samples.
Yeah, it's great stuff. All right, so let's do this. Stay with me, Mark. I also want to thank Rob Regish for being on during the first hour for the Blueprint Power Hour, and, of course, Dr. Haney for coming on talking about the magic sweet spot for vitamin D levels that influence blood pressure and insulin sensitivity. Thanks for listening to Super Human Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.